MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Thursday, March 7, 2024, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage in communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Today we have political news from Lynn, Beverly, and Newburyport. And below on our post, we have a detailed account of the governor's visit to Revere yesterday.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, there was local North Shore High School hockey and basketball last night, and much more hockey tonight. Rick?
All right, thanks, Bill. Rain, wind, low 40s. High tide, Gloucester Harbor, 8:50 p.m. In North Shore political news, last week, Lynn State Representative Peter Capano announced that he was not going to seek re-election this fall. The Daily Item is reporting today that so far, two candidates have announced that they will seek the 11th Essex House seat. They are Lynn City Councilor-at-Large Hong Nett and newly elected Lynn School Committee member Sean Reed. This week, Beverly State Representative Jerry Parasella and State Senator Joan Lovely presented a legislative update to a joint meeting of the Beverly City Council and the School Committee. Representative Parasella told the meeting that lower state revenues are a concern as work continues on the fiscal year 25 budget.
Unfortunately, the budget picture isn't the greatest right now for the Commonwealth. We've had the 7 months of revenues that are less than were anticipated when we started. And unlike the federal government, we have to have a balanced budget. So, and the governor has this ability called 9C cuts. And so what that means is if we have a budget and then she feels like the budget isn't going to be balanced, she can make cuts. And she did do that. So she cut $375 million already from the current fiscal year budget. So, and that includes some of our earmarks that we had for the city, including like $200,000 for Holcroft Park got cut to $100,000. We want to make sure that when we pass this, I think that's one of the worst situations that can happen is people anticipate getting a certain budget and a line item, and then it gets cut halfway through the fiscal year. So my anticipation is our budget for this year will be a lot more leaner than anticipated, with the hope that you don't have to have those cuts next year in the middle of the year.
As for the legislation that is currently moving through the House at this time?
We have a $4 billion housing bond bill that the governor filed. There was just a hearing on that about 3 weeks ago. It made it through the first committee, the housing committee, today, so that got passed on. The economic development bill, which I chair the economic development committee, so I started pouring through that today. It's about 70 pages. That's a $3.5 billion bond bill. A lot of good things in there as well. So that'll be my task probably for the next couple of months, reviewing that, holding hearings and so forth. And then there's like a $1.2 billion IT bond bill to upgrade some of the IT in the state. So there's a lot floating around out there for us to tackle.
A leaner state budget is a concern for the city of Beverly as well, with less money being allocated for special projects.
Typically in the past, we've been able to get earmarks for the city of Beverly for a variety of things, whether it be pickleball courts or the Varian cleanup or some funding for the police station for
Elliott Street.
Yeah, Elliott Street, $250,000 for that. So I'm going to ask, because it doesn't hurt to ask. I just don't know how successful we'll be this year in getting those specific earmarks. What's good about the earmarks is it just goes right to the city, those funds. It's not a grant program. It's direct funding. So we'll ask and see what happens. But that's sort of where we stand at this point.
That's Beverly State Representative Jerry Parasella speaking at the Joint City Council School Committee meeting that is available to view on BevCam. A Gloucester businessman was elected this week to the GOP State Committee. Gloucester Times reporter Ethan Foreman writes today that Clayton Sova won the election by defeating three other candidates. There is still interest in Newburyport for the Whittier Tech School Committee. Jim Sullivan writes in today's Daily News that former Mayor Donna Holliday is seeking another three-year term on the school board. The members are appointed to the board, and three other candidates are also seeking the seat. They include Owen Smith, Mary DeLay, and Carolyn Laser. Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon is working to form a Whittier Tech task force. that would unite the 11 sending municipalities to potentially revise the district agreement. And Gloucester officials are holding a comprehensive plan visioning workshop Saturday at City Hall. According to Mayor Greg Verga, several thousand residents have already participated through online surveys. And the mayor explains his reasoning as to why an outside consultant was hired to help plan the plan.
The organization, well, it's going through our community development department, actually through the planning board, and we have the we've hired a consultant to help lead us through it. So some of the comments that we got since we hired the consultant or talked about hiring the consultant was, you know, why don't we have someone locally do this? Why do we need to keep hiring consultants? Well, I'd rather have someone who's done this in the real world as opposed to someone's going to, you know, call up a YouTube video of how to do a comprehensive plan. And sometimes you have to seek professionals. Like if you're going to build an addition to your house and you've never done it before, you might want to have a real contractor come in and do it. So someone who does this for a living was the smart way to go. And people will have an outside view of, you know, they look at what other communities have done. It can't just be a locally based on opinion. So I think it was a smart thing to hire the consultant. And we have final say over it. Not me, the mayor, us, the government, but the residents have final say over what gets produced.
Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga. Sports Next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute, cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved-out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics and Bruins were both off last night. The Celtics play in Denver tonight while the Bruins will play host to Toronto this evening. Red Sox spring training continues. Here's the latest news with baseball insider Andy Carboni.
They continued their spring training schedule yesterday. On the other side of Fort Myers, losing to the Twins 7-1. This afternoon, the Sox back at JetBlue Park hosting the Braves. First pitch comes your way at 1:05, and you can catch the game on ESPN or put your radio on AM 850. Sox off tomorrow. They're headed to Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic for a weekend series against the Rays. Sox currently in second place in the Grapefruit League standings, if you really care. They have a record of 8-5, one tie, three games behind the first-place Orioles.
Thanks, Andy. High school basketball from last night. D3, Old Rochester over Salem, 66-58. D4, Lynn Tech beat Georgetown, 60-56. This is Tech coach Corey Bingham.
We set our goals, and you as a team, you want to put yourself in the situations to achieve those goals, and we've been doing that, and most importantly, I love the, you know, Lynn coming out and supporting us, you know, as a whole, as a city, you know, us being in Lynn Tech, it's just a great feeling, and with this atmosphere, I feel like the kids fed off of that, you know, the fans giving them the extra push, and that's what you need as a team, and most importantly, the guys came out and gave it the Tiger pride, what we know, what we earn, and what we do every day.
And yes, there was a fantastic atmosphere inside that refurbished Lynn Tech Fieldhouse last night. In D5, Drury beat Rockport 57-51. Girls basketball, Tingsboro eliminated Georgetown 62-45. Boys hockey last night, Woburn down Newburyport 6-3. Marblehead beat Scituate 2-1. Winthrop over Ashland 7-0. And in girls hockey, Notre Dame shut out Peabody 2-0. Tonight in D1, St. John's Prep takes on Hingham at Stoneham at 7:30. The Prep is the number one seed in D1, but as Coach Christian Hansen points out, there is no guarantee with that number one ranking.
I mean, at this point, four of the top seven seeds have been knocked out.
Whoa.
So you just need to be prepared to play, and The tournament's all about who's hot and who's got the goalie, and so many factors that go into it. So seeding means very little. And, you know, Arlington Catholic beat Pope Francis yesterday, and, you know, Pope Francis was the 2 seed. So, you know, it really doesn't give you – sometimes the higher the seed you are, the more pressure it puts on you, and it allows your opponent to play a little bit looser. So it could be a disadvantage being ranked high. And
yeah,
let me tell you, these teams are so close. You know, you, 7, 10, it really doesn't matter what the seeds are. We're talking about percentage points and a few goals here and there, or a game we didn't play well during the regular season that dictates where you fall in the seeding chart. So it just doesn't matter. You just need to be ready to go.
In D2 tonight, Masconomet takes on Duxbury at 5 in Stoneham. Masco coach Andrew Bopel on a couple of energy guys that are propelling his chieftains so far this year in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think our two top centers are probably those guys. Alan Weitzman on the first line is just all over the ice, and you can see he plays just with every ounce of energy he has. And John Miga, our second line center, is probably a little bit more defensive minded, but he still, you know, digs for pucks in the offensive zone and feeds other guys.
In D1 girls hockey tonight, St. Mary's takes on Shrewsbury at 5 at the John Ryan Arena in Watertown. Frank Pagliuca, right now it's all about the Spartans being the best that they can be.
No, I think for us it's just important to go over some corrections that we have to make that we had some issues with in the Saturday game, and hopefully they don't come back to bite us on Thursday night. But at this point, it's all about us coming with a lot of energy and finishing our opportunities when we get them.
That's sports, and this is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Thursday, everybody, and North Shore Today Extra is next.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by our baseball insider, Andy Carboni. Andy, welcome.
Well, happy to be back once again, Bill, as we get ever closer and closer to opening day, just a few weeks away.
Wow, unbelievable. Yeah, this month, too, actually. So, Andy, showers here, but what's happening down in at spring training with the Red Sox this week?
Well, there's been plenty of sunshine, but not all sunshine and happiness with Red Sox situation. They continued their spring training schedule yesterday. On the other side of Fort Myers, losing to the Twins 7-1 this afternoon. The Sox back at JetBlue Park hosting the Braves. First pitch comes your way at 1:05, and you can catch the game on ESPN or put your radio on AM 850. Sox off tomorrow. They're headed to Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic for a weekend series against the Rays. Sox currently in second place in the Grapefruit League standings, if you really care. They have a record of 8-5, one tie, 3 games behind the first place Orioles.
I remember when I used to care about that stuff.
No, I hear you as well. Absolutely.
All right, Andy. What else do you have for us?
Well, as I said, things aren't all so sunny and bright down at spring training for the Red Sox because their big off-season free agent signing, starting pitcher Lucas Giolito, has a partial tear of the UCL in his pitching elbow, and he may miss the entire season. If he has to undergo Tommy John surgery, he could miss most of next year as well. So his season is potentially over before it even starts.
Wow, unbelievable. Take us through the other Red Sox notes that you have for us this week.
Well, the other big acquisition by new head of baseball operations, Craig Bledsoe, second baseman Vaughn Grissom, the Sox acquired from the Braves in the Chris Sale trade. He's most likely going to start the season on the injured list with a strained groin, so things are just getting better and better for the local nine. Red Sox did make a signing, though, since last we spoke. First baseman C.J. Crone to a minor league deal. Crone has hit 187 home runs in his 10-year career with the Angels, Rockies, Twins, Rays, and Tigers. Last year, Crone hit 12 home runs, splitting time with both the Rockies and the Angels. He will obviously be competing for that utility role as a backup first baseman with Brian Dalbec. And the Red Sox also reportedly work on a contract extension with starting pitcher Brian Baio.
All right, so Man, this is unbelievable. The injured list is crazy here for this team. What about tickets here, Andy? What's happening there? What's the latest with Red Sox ticket news?
Well, same as last week. If you want to open up your wallets, you can buy tickets through July 31st at the Red Sox box office, of course, at Fenway. Or you can go on RedSox.com. Sox opening up the season. The 10-game West Coast road trip opening day is 3 weeks away, March 28th, against the Mariners. Opening day at Fenway, April 9th, against the Orioles.
Yeah, July 31st, only good through then. But maybe they won't play August and September this year.
Yeah, they could be so far out of it that they just throw up the white flag and say, we're done.
Yeah, just come on in, whatever. They could just make money on concessions, you know.
There you go.
All right. Well, you always share some great stuff with us from news from around Major League Baseball. So what do you have for us this week?
Well, the Phillies signed pitcher Zach Wheeler to a 3-year, $126 million contract extension. And the Giants signed free agent third baseman Matt Chapman to a 3-year, $54 million contract. Last year's National League MVP, Ronald Acuna Jr., hopes to be ready for opening day. He's dealing with irritation of the meniscus in his right knee. Last year, Acuna hit .337. 41 home runs, 106 RBI, 73 stolen bases. Former American League MVP, 38-year-old Josh Donaldson announced his retirement this week. Donaldson won the MVP with the Blue Jays back in 2015, hitting 41 home runs and driving in 123 runs. Third baseman finished with 279 career home runs and 816 runs batted in over a 13-year career.
All those guys you mentioned, Andy, sound great. At least they're not on the injured list yet. Yeah, all right, you have some news for us from Oakland. What's happening there?
Yeah, the A's have released their design renderings for the team's new stadium in Las Vegas. The A's plan to move into the 33,000-seat Dome Stadium in 2028 in Las Vegas. The $1.5 billion stadium has a design that shows five overlapping layers with a similar appearance to the world-famous Sydney Opera House in Australia. Plans also include a glass window beyond the outfield that would have views of the Las Vegas Strip and an 18,000-square-foot video board, which would be the largest in professional sports. With its planned capacity, it would become the smallest stadium in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, that's interesting that they would have it that small. I mean, I can see being, you know, in the 40s, something like that, but 33 is what you said? Does that sound right? Yeah.
We set for 33,000, so... I guess that means ticket prices will be even higher because there are less seats to deal with. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, all right. Anything else, Andy, from around MLB?
Well, longstanding Phillies tradition being scrapped for good, announcing that Dollar Dog Night is being replaced with a two-for-one deal. During games in April, the organization said some fans began throwing hot dogs onto the field last season, which led to the change. The team also noted that crowded lines along the concourse led to security and safety concerns.
The Phillies said, if you guys cannot behave on our Dollar Dog Night, it's not happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're taking the dogs away.
You know, when you started that, Andy, I'm thinking maybe it's bring your dog to the ballpark. That's a minor league kind of a deal, but not in the major leagues. But that's where I thought you were going with this, bring an actual pet to the stadium. But
well,
no.
Some teams do have that. You can bring your dog to the game. I know they've done that in Oakland as well as in Seattle. So it's not out of the ordinary for that to happen, even in Major League Baseball these days.
All right. Wow. We'll have to grab some video, try to see if there's some video from Dollar Dog Night from Philadelphia from before. Wow.
All kinds of excitement. Remember Disco Demolition Night over in Chicago years ago, Bill?
Yeah, right. Bill Vack, right? I remember that. Yeah. All right, Andy. I got to ask you one question. I mean, where does this leave Red Sox starting pitching now? It just doesn't. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it leaves it in a real tough bind, obviously, with the loss of Giolito, who, you know, I mean, obviously he's not a number one guy that's going to lead you to the promised land, but, you know, he's a third or fourth starter, could eat up some innings. You know, it looks like that someone like a Tanner Houck, who would be sent to the bullpen this year, could be back in the rotation with that spot opening up, or the Red Sox could make a move. There's still some free agents out there looking for a home, most notably Blake Snell and Jeff Montgomery. But, I mean, the Red Sox spending that kind of money on those big free agents, likely not to happen. So Craig Breslow said they're happy just to go within what they have and make it fit. So I think it's what you see is what you get going forward. Don't expect any big changes before opening day.
You know, the other thing is, Andy, and we may be all, totally off base here on this, is that the Red Sox could be way up in first place by the end of July, you know, and that when the ticket sales, you know, when they got to start selling tickets for August and September, and that way they can jack the rates up for August and September. I mean, that's got to be their thinking, Andy.
Well, that's got to be the big plan. And it's funny mentioning a potential fill-in in the bullpen or in the rotation type of thing. Yesterday during the broadcast on the radio, the color commentator was Rich Hill, who's bounced around with many teams over his career, and he's still looking to play this year. I think he's 44 years old at this point, but he wants to catch on with the team after the trade deadline in the summer. But Joe Castiglione did ask him, if the Red Sox did happen to contact you today about joining the team now, would you do so? And he said, obviously, he'd be open to it. So that could be the answer to the Red Sox problems. Oh, boy, that was the case.
The old matchmaker himself, Joe Castiglione. There you go.
Oh, yes.
All right, Andy, good talking with you, and we will check in again soon.
Looking forward to it.
Baseball insider Andy Carboni. I'm Bill Newell here on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute, cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved-out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three, and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, talking now once again with the Masconomen High School boys hockey coach Andrew Bopel. And coach, welcome back and congratulations on a great win the other night.
Thank you for having me, and yeah, the guys played excellent on Saturday.
Coach, I'll tell you what, Newburyport, Gloucester, you guys against Canton, two of the best games in the tournament so far. Recap this game for me, then I want to ask you a couple of specifics.
Yeah, so I mean, the first period was kind of a hard-fought battle. I think Canton had the edge a little bit, but we held them off. It was 0-0. They scored two pretty quick goals in the second period, one on a power play, and we scored with maybe a few minutes left in the second to make it 2-1, but it wasn't until 4 minutes left in the third that we were able to tie it up, and then just shortly after that, John Morrell intercepted a pass in the middle of the ice and shot real quick, and it went in, and we were able to get the empty net after that, so it was a quick turn of events where we were trailing most of the game and ended up pulling it out.
How was the ebb and flow of the game, Coach? Did you like the way your kids were playing despite the fact you were down by a goal?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what we've said from the beginning is that if we're going to survive in the tournament, it has to be defense first, and it has to be a low-scoring game. And I really felt like we had been doing that for most of the game. And, you know, being down one goal, we still felt like we had confidence in the third period to come back, and luckily we're able to do it.
Well, you've been in some close games. You don't have a huge differential between goals for and goals against, but tell me about your leading players, Johnny Moreau and those guys, because it seems like, what do they say, great players come through in big games or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think our senior leadership has been amazing, especially from our starters. I mean, you have Ben Merrill, who's leading us in points, Alan Weitzman and Johnny Morrell on the first line, and then our starting pair of defensemen, Anthony Cervoni and Brady Ford, and Chris Sacco and Nett, all seniors. And then we still have, you know, Gavin Dupuis and Evan O'Hare and Andrew Downing and Matt Sheehan and Evan Collins. And there's 11 seniors. I'm sure I just left one out there.
But, yeah.
You know, senior leadership and confidence is really something that makes a difference in the tournament.
Where was the game with Canton?
It was in Randolph at the Zapusa's Arena.
Is that a long haul for you guys?
Yeah, it was about an hour bus ride.
Wow, okay.
The bus ride home was a lot more fun than the one on the way there.
I bet. Now, you know, I got to ask you, Andrew, I mentioned Newburyport and Gloucester, and I talked with Coach Yameen the other night. And, you know, I mean, you have to focus on the next game, obviously. But he called that game a classic. And as a coach, you have ups and downs. You have games that are ho-hum. You have games that you blow other teams out and vice versa. But when you get into the tournament and you beat the number two seed, this is something that the kids are going to remember. And you as a coach are going to be remembering this a long time when the kids come back as adults and talk to you about it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a big game. Anytime you can upset a team, you know, that's ranked higher than you, but when you can do it in the tournament and do it at, you know, on their home ice, that's huge. So definitely, you know, a signature win, I think, for our team this year and really for the program in general.
Uh-huh. Well, it probably doesn't mean a lot, but you're a lot closer to Duxbury in terms of the rankings than you were with Canton, so a great win. Now tell me about what's coming up for the Thursday game. What's the preparation, and how do you look at Duxbury?
Well, yeah, Duxbury, I mean, I honestly think Duxbury is going to be just as difficult a game. They may not be ranked super high, but if you look at their strength of schedule, I mean, they play some very different teams. They have very balanced scoring throughout their lines, whereas we're a little bit more top-heavy with our first line. So, I mean, we've really just been focusing on kind of team system stuff the past couple of days. Yesterday we got a really good skate in, and today we kind of slowed things down a little bit more, and tomorrow will be mostly walkthroughs, and then we go on Thursday and see what happens.
Finally, Coach, I want to ask about the end of the season, because the Andover game, you know, they're tough. You lost a close one there, but then you got ready before the playoffs start, and you're on a pretty good roll now. Overall, what's the mental attitude of both the coaches and the kids?
I think it's really that we can go as far as we want to take us. We're our best friends and our own worst enemy at the same time. So I think that we're confident, and we know that if we commit to playing the right system, that we're a very dangerous team to play. So we're feeling good. We recognize how big of a test it's going to be, and should we be able to get through Thursday? It only gets harder after that, but we got to get through Thursday first.
And the deeper you go, the more depth I think the teams have. Can you match up with that depth?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think our second and third line has been great all year, playing defensive hockey, chipping in with offense every once in a while. And we have good defense from our other guys rotating in. So, like I said, we're going to have to commit to defense and keep it low scoring to be successful, I think. But we know we have the offense, so we're just going to have to put it together, really.
All right, one final question. Tell me about the defense. Does it rely as much on your forwards coming back as it does your defense?
I mean, it's really everything. I mean, our defense just need to play physical and not let guys around them. And once they get back to pucks, it's really about our forwards coming down so that the defense have a place to go with it, and we're not just kind of whipping it around the boards and hoping. So it's really a mixture of both. But our defense have been great and physical in front of Chris, and hopefully we can keep doing that.
I got a trick question for you. Who is your Patrice Bergeron? Who's the kid who can play up front and come back and get everything out of the zone and play like that? There's always at least one guy on each team.
Yeah, I mean, I think our two top centers are probably those guys. Alan Weitzman on the first line is just all over the ice, and he plays just with every ounce of energy he has. And John Miga, our second line center, is probably a little bit more defensive minded. But he still, you know, digs for pucks in the offensive zone and feeds other guys. So I think those two guys have been two-way players all year.
That's awesome. All right, Coach, keep it going. It's very exciting. You guys are doing proud here on the North Shore. The game is Thursday at the Stoneham Arena at 5?
Yep.
All right. I hope you have a lot of guys show up and support you, kids.
I hope so, too. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Coach. Hope to talk again. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck. All right, that's Andrew Bopel, who is the Manchester, the Masconomen High School boys hockey coach with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.